a Kedushas Levi. As you know, the Kedushas Levi was authored by Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He says a comment on the pasuk Ata Yoiducha Achecha. Yehuda Ata Yoiducha Achecha. Yankov Avinu says to Yehuda, Yehuda, your brothers Yoiducha will be thank you, will praise you. So there are many different interpretations as to what Yankov Avinu was referring to when he used these words. The Berdichev Rav uses it in a classic Berdichev method. He says as follows, and you know, we talked about this when we were doing the Tefillah series. As Jews, we need to appreciate the value, the opportunity of being able to speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is never moyes, is never disgusted by any prayer of a Jew. It says, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we say in Davening, is HaKel, HaGodol, HaGibor, VaNeir, he's awesome, he's mighty, he's great, he's all these various things, and we are, if anything at all, the complete total opposite. We're puny and insignificant and flawed and all the various things. Nonetheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam desires our tefillas. And he comments, as does his contemporary, the Baal Tanya, in Birkas Krishna, we speak about something which seems to be completely out of context. Right before the Shema, we address what the angels do. Vayifanim v'chayis HaKodesh. So you got all these different levels of the angels. And we talk about how the angels say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. And the angels say Baruch Kaved Hashemim, Baruch Kaved Hashemim Kaimai. And all the various services offered by the angels. What relationship does it have to our Shema? Why are we talking about this now? So he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is striving, is the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are trying to drive home the value of Jewish prayer. He says as follows. The Chazal tell us that every angel, he says we should be thinking about this before davening, which is clearly why it's placed in Birkas Kriyas Shema. Says, we know that there are perhaps millions of angels. And Chazal tell us that every angel is a size of a third of the world. Okay? And yet, continues the Medrash, every angel is like a mustard seed compared to one oifan. An oifan are the other types of angels that we speak of, vayifanim b'chayis HaKodesh. And each one of the Ifanim is but a mustard seed before the Chayos, the angels that are called the Chayos. And all of those angels ask the question, Ayim Mikayim Kavodah, where is Hashem's honor? Where is Hashem's glory? And you, Ben Adam, we human beings, have the ability to speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's drawing the contrast between the angels who speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at best in you want to call it third person, but in third being, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzavakos. An angel can never speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sing the praises of Hashem. They're in Hashem's vicinity, but an angel does not ever have the privilege to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. But we humans have the audacity and at the same time the privilege and the obligation to say Baruch Ata Hashem. We have a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you draw this contrast between these mighty, powerful, extraordinary spiritual beings and us puny little humans, they, despite their greatness, and as we'll discuss in a moment, because of their greatness, cannot speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we, humans, have the ability to say Baruch Atah Hashem. We say by a siyum, so there's a kind of a liturgy which is said. There we say, it's based on the Gemara in Brachas, Mashana Mashkimim, Behem Mashkimim, we speak about the nations of the world. We wake up and they wake up. And then we say, Anu Amelim, Behem Amelim. And we toil and they toil. Anu Amelim, Umikablim Skar. We toil and we receive reward. Behem Amelim, Behem Umikablim Skar. And they toil and they don't get rewards. Everybody says, what do you mean they don't get reward? Warren Buffett has made millions of dollars. What do you mean he doesn't get reward? He says he gets reward for results. Okay, that is true. Even in either case, we're making an equal comparison. The so-called real world rewards results. The Ribbono Shel Olam rewards effort. How often do we struggle with a moral and ethical struggle? Once, twice, three times. Should I say it? Should I not say it? I'm not going to say it. We meet up with the person again. I'm not going to say it. And then finally, we succumb. So, our upbringing, our cultural upbringing, leads us to think that we're failures. Because ultimately, we succumbed. We were not able to overcome the temptation. It's simply not true. We receive reward for every time we struggled and we didn't give in, even if ultimately we failed. We receive reward for all the times that we tried and temporarily overcame. My father repeats that's why Klal Yisrael are called. Why are we called Yisrael? So Hashem says to Yankiv, the angel says, Ki sarisa im elikim v'im anoshim v'tuchal. After he struggled with the angel, so why are we called Yisrael? Ki sarisa, because you struggled with God and angel, and you won. So he says, why aren't we called b'nei tuchal? We should be called this child of the winners. So it wouldn't look good. You know, the country would be called Tuchel, which is, it wouldn't ring correctly, right? So he said, because it's not where it's at. We are called B'nai Yisrael because we are people who are willing to struggle, or people who are willing to battle. And therefore we're called B'nai Yisrael. Angels do not struggle. Angels do not have to overcome temptation. And as a result, as awesome as their Shira is, and in many ways we try modeling ourselves after their Shira, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu values. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants the struggle of a human. So he says, that this should give us pause in how we use our mouths. It says, after davening, if we take into consideration, before we get up to daven, that at this very moment, in fact, Chazal tell us that the angels cannot sing Shira until we've done our Shira, until we started our Shira here. They can't sing Shira upstairs. They're dependent upon us. It's the little domino effect. We just hit one little domino here and it releases an avalanche above. The story my father told in 96 when we had the concert. So he said that there was an Indian in the desert that was trying to send a smoke signal with his little blanket and his little bonfire. Little did he know that in the desert in Nevada they were testing some kind of atomic bomb. So he's sitting there and he's doing his little thing, and all of a sudden he looks up waiting for a response, and there's this huge mushroom cloud, and he looks up and says, "I said that?" And the answer is yes. That's what happens. When we say our Psukah D'Zimra and our Birchas Kriyas Shema, we release an avalanche of Shira upstairs. And they're dependent upon us. So the Baal Shem Tov says, but where does that leave our mouths? What do we use our mouths for?
Talk to you.
He says, if a person recognizes that this tool will be used to speak words of praise and words of Torah, to speak before the Melech Godol V'Noira, the awesome great king, it should give us great pause before we use our mouths for something completely and entirely inappropriate. Because we would never use the same tool to, physically to serve a king for something that was used with filth and dirt and contamination. Yeah. So he concludes, a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim, Shlomo Kalbach has a great melody for it. Laman achai v'rei'ai. For the sake of my brothers and friends. Who are we talking about? So he says that the Ribbono Shel Olam refers to us as his brothers and friends. Re'achu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says. We are, Hashem calls us Re'im. So he says, the Baditch of Rav concludes and says, Yehuda, Yidala, you Jew. Ata, the fact that you have the ability to turn to the Almighty, to the Creator of the world, and have the audacity to say, Ata, to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in first being, you, God. Yeducha Achecha. That's the greatest form that your brother can praise you with. You want, what's the simon? What's given? If somebody were to say to us, what's the symbol of your relationship with God? Who says? Yesterday, after I spoke, an older gentleman came over to me and said, what does it mean that we're the chosen people? Does it just mean we're chosen just for oppression? I said, no, there's other things that come along with that also. It's kind of a package. Ata, the fact that you, Jew, can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Ata, Yoiducha Achecha, that is how your brother, referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam in this case, recognizes our relationship, the uniqueness of the relationship that we have with Hashem Yisbarach. And the curse, of course, of from life is that we take everything for granted. Because when we were 2 years old, we were taught already Baruch Ata. And we take it for granted that that's the natural order of things. And unfortunately, we have no reverence anymore from which to derive any sort of sense of awe. Because if you could smear the president and say what you want disrespectfully about basically any human being and get away with it, because we're taught equality, and we're all on the same level. It's interesting that kind of in the Torah world there still is some semblance of a lack of that universal equality. There still is a point we were learning this morning. The what was unique about Nasa v'Nishma? Nasa v'Nishma was that there were people who were willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do something even though I don't understand it. I'm going to accept authority. even though I don't comprehend yet what it's all about. I don't know if God would have been able to pull it off in today's day and age. We would have challenged him. You know, first thing, I need to understand this first. It's such a powerful human intuition. The act of independence, of my right of understanding, my thinking is as good as yours. And having to swallow that is not an easy, it's not an easy pill for any of us. You know that's how some of the Mefarshim explain both. Again, it was the Daf Yomi this morning. The Gemara goes, you'll excuse the vulgarity. The Gemara says that the sin of the golden calf was compared to a woman who was unfaithful under her chuppah. It can't get more graphic than that. That's what is it? They're really crazy? I'm not dealing with people who are crazy. So what was up? And the answer is very simple. Humans cannot deal with not having choice. We once called, there's a brilliant educator in the community, his name is Robbie, I'm not going to tell you her last name. But when we were struggling with one of the kids who just was defiant, so she gave us the advice to give the kid choices. Both choices, of course, only that the parent wanted. None of them were that the child wanted. But the fact that the kid could choose would remove the tension of the defiant moment. Klal Yisrael were left without choice. When there's absolute clarity, they were left without choice. And as humans, they can't be without choices. And that's how they explain Adam Rishon with the Chet of the Eitz Hadas as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of takes responsibility for it and doesn't wipe us out, because he recognizes that when it says that a human being is created B'Tselem Elokim, that it means that we have to have choices. And if we're left with absolute clarity without choice, it just doesn't do well with us. The Baal Peh used to tell a story, a very funny story, I haven't thought about it, that there was a chassid who suffered from horrible emphysema. And he traveled to Krakow, because in Krakow there was the Grace of Professor. They used to call the doctors the professor. And the professor listened to his lungs and told him to go home because he's got a week to live. He has no lungs left. So on his way back home, he stopped in Babov by my great-great-grandfather, by Reb Shlomo. Told him what the doctor said. Reb Shlomo said, which doctors? He told him the name of the doctor. It was a secular Jew. So he said to him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and stand there Friday night when your wife's candles go out. So especially when you light with this and not such refined stuff, there's a ugly smoke that comes out. You see it on Hanukkah, right? When the oil goes out, the house is filled with that smoke. Yeah. So he said, every time I want you to really deeply inhale that smoke. Now, normally that can kill somebody who's got good lungs,
yeah.
Right? So the fellow looked at him and said, are you serious? That's what you want me to do? So he said, yeah, I want you to inhale the smoke and you'll have a refuah. Fine. That's what the Rebbe says. See, they're crazy. So he goes home and the candles go out and he's standing there and he inhales and he starts coughing up blood and guts and who knows what. And lays down and figures, like, this is it. But that's what the Rebbe said to do. And of course, the next morning he's feeling better. And the next week he's back to himself. And within several weeks, he's running the marathon again. The famous Bub of Marathon. So he goes back to Reb Shlomo and says to him, Rebbe, there was, you know, it was great advice. So Reb Shlomo says to him, I'd like you to go back to the professor. Yeah, to the Tim professor. So he goes back to Krakow, and the doctor is amazed. He said, it's impossible medically that you can still be alive. You had no lungs. So he says to him, this is what the Rebbe told me to do. So he said, well, your Rebbe's crazy. That'll kill one, you know, that'll kill any normal person. So he said, so do you believe? He says to the doctor. So the doctor said, let me see your Rebbe create an arm for somebody who doesn't have an arm. Lungs, nobody can see. I knew. He says, I knew you had no lungs. But let me see him create an arm for somebody who has no arm. This guy was troubled by what the doctor said. So he went back to Bubba and he told the Reb Shlomo what he said. He says, that doesn't work. He said, go tell your doctor that if a tzaddik was to create an arm for somebody who had no arm, then it would not leave a person with free choice. He says, but he knew very well that you didn't have lungs and that now you have lungs. Tell him he better do tshuva. As humans, we need to have free choice. And in essence, that's how many of the commentaries explain the whole human condition of Toiv and Ra, why the Rebbeinu Shlomo created a force of evil in the world, because without it, there is no real human existence. But on a much more fundamental level, we need to recognize that instead of continuing to curse the darkness and to despise our humanity and our temptations and our constant struggles, we have to come to the recognition that without it, there is no Baruch Atah. Without that angle of human existence, then we're robots, then we're angels. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't need any more angels. Yehuda, Atah, Yeducha, Achecha. What makes us humans, what gives us the ability to say Atah, is our very humanity. And it's interesting because, again, the commentaries point out, Yaakov Avinu calls together his children, balls out Reuven, right? Washes the floor with Shimon and Levi. Comes to Yehuda, and Yehuda, the Chazal tells us, Yehuda backed away because he was ready. He knew that the whole thing with Tamar was going to come up, and you know, it was not going to be a pretty scene. So Yehuda said, I'm out of here before this gets ugly. And then Yaakov Avinu calls him over and says to him, this Atah Yeducha Achecha. And the Mefarshim point out that if you read it carefully, Yaakov Avinu said to him, not despite your trials, but because of who you are, and because of what you went through, and because of your struggles, that's why he ends up being king. Without the struggles, there's no Atah Yeducha Achecha. It's royalty is not a human being who is able to get away from it all. It's a person who can face it, who struggles, and yet who has the strength, the tenacity, the determination to overcome.